Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming at you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Bill Powers, who writes a newsletter on a regular basis, and it deals with energy issues. It deals with the price of oil and how this is affected by what's going on in the Middle East, what's happening to natural gas, electricity, the possibility of returning to nuclear energy, all sorts of things which we hope you'll feel would be worthwhile. And Bill Powers has been highly recommended to me by my good friend John Loeffler, because Mr. Powers is a regular guest on Jim Plava's show, and that's one of the really key programs here in this country from a financial point of view. In fact, we'll be having Jim Plava as our guest next Monday afternoon at this same time on this same station, and so we hope that you'll want to be listening. But Bill, thank you so very much for being with us again.
It's great to be here, Dr. Stan.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself? They don't know you at all, so this is an entirely different audience than we had last night, so don't worry about being repetitive.
Okay. My name is Bill Powers, and I write the Canadian Energy Viewpoint, which is the only investment newsletter published in the United States that focuses exclusively on investment in the Canadian energy sector. I am a U.S. citizen and resident of Chicago. The newsletter is based on the simple thesis that investment in the Canadian energy sector is the best way to profit from a falling U.S. dollar and rising energy prices.
All right, fine. And, of course, is the Canadian dollar is really doing fairly well against the American currency, isn't it?
Yes, it had a very good day today. It was up nicely. I saw it over 74 cents. To the U.S. dollar, and I'm of the belief that we're going back to parity for a number of reasons.
All right, fine. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's happening as far as the price of oil is concerned, and I think this is important. I think that, you know, people respond to what they see. They're not worried about the long trends. They're worried about what happens when they go down to the gas pump and they find gasoline, as it is in our area. Oh, I think up to $2.60, $2.70 a gallon for the premium, and down around $2.20, $2.25 for the type that I buy. But what's going to happen? I mean, are the prices going to stabilize? Are they going to go up? Or do you see them coming down possibly before the election to perhaps help in the election of George Bush?
Well, I think prices probably moderating for the short to intermediate term future. But in the long run, I do see gasoline prices heading up, because I believe that oil prices are going to be heading much, much higher from today's levels. So I think we will look back and, and fondly on the days of $2 gasoline. But I think we're probably sometime in the next year to 18 months, we will see well over $3.
Yeah, and you're talking about $3 a gallon. And I know you had predicted that there would be $50 a gallon oil, and we're not too far away from that, are we?
$50 a barrel oil is something that is that we got relatively close to on Tuesday after the attacks in Saudi Arabia put oil over $42. And I have predicted that in my newsletter earlier this year, that we would be seeing $50 oil within 18 months. And I believe it's going to get there one way or another, and it might be a lot sooner than most people think.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment here with Mr. Bill Powers. Well, Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And our special guest this afternoon is Mr. Bill Powers, who writes a newsletter. He's an American citizen living in Chicago, but he writes a newsletter about Canadian energy. And, of course, they have a lot of oil up there. They have a lot of natural gas. They have a lot of oil shale. I mean, Canada is a very, very wealthy country. So Bill has predicted some weeks ago, I guess some months ago, that we would be seeing oil at $50 a barrel. And of course, having talked to him, he's anticipating it really could go up much higher in the coming years. Would that be a fair assessment, Bill?
Yes, that is a very fair assessment. Not only will oil go to $50, that's assuming there are no supply disruptions. That's just the natural decline of our existing basins and increased demand. If there were a supply disruption, we're probably looking at much higher than that. And I have gone on record saying that we will be looking at $100 oil by the end of this decade.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's important that people realize that there are a number of reasons why this can happen. Now, a lot of people in the back of their mind think, well, now we've got our troops over there in Iraq. We're going to be able to control the price of oil. We're going to control that oil. We're going to be able to pump it out of the ground, and things are really looking up. But there's a lot of uncertainties as far as the oil supply, not only in certainly in the Middle East, but as far as South America. Would you like to develop those ideas?
Yes. Venezuela is a really interesting place right now. They're going to have a presidential recall election, similar to what the governor's what happened to Gray Davis in California. And Hugo Chavez said he is going to abide by whatever the voters whatever the voters come up with. So I think that Venezuela, if it does have a peaceful transfer of power, assuming Chavez loses, might stem their pretty steep production decline that they're currently experiencing. If for whatever reason violence were to break out around the election, around the recall election, or Chavez's reaction to it, and they go on another oil worker strike like they had in early 2003, late 2002, we could see high oil prices and, more importantly, extremely high gasoline prices in the near future, because Venezuela is the majority owner of a couple of the largest refineries in the Western Hemisphere. As far as the Middle East goes,
I'm going to ask you to sort of hold that, because we're going to have to wait just a moment. I don't want our listeners that are coming on board, and we have them coming right back just about now. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Bill Powers. We're talking about the availability of oil. And Bill is talking, first of all, about what's happening in Venezuela. There's a very uncertain situation there. You have a gentleman who is the president there. He was legally elected. His name is Chavez. He's very close to Fidel Castro and to the other Marxist leaders down there. And, of course, I think that in many respects he may have the majority support, because you've got an awful lot of poor people in Venezuela. Well, the middle class and the ruling class that has controlled this country for a long period of time have got enough ballot signatures for a recall election. Apparently, there are people there from the United States and other countries that want to oversee this election to make it sure and honest. So initially, Chavez did everything he could to block the new election. But, of course, according to Bill, the election will be held. The question is, will there be a disruption of the oil supply? Now, how much of the oil we get here in the United States comes from Venezuela?
We get about a million barrels a day, give or take, on whether how much is refined products, mostly gasoline from Venezuela and heating oil from Venezuela.
All right, now how much oil do we use here? Is it 22 million barrels?
About 22 million barrels a day.
So we use 22 million barrels a day, and this is about 5% then of our supply. But you cut back 5% of the supply, we would have real problems.
Yes, that's an understatement. Simply because this would lead to shortages relatively quickly, since we have below average inventory levels, and not just crude, but in gasoline and heating oil. So a small reduction in available supplies, anywhere from 2 to 5%, would lead to a 10 to 25 to even maybe higher percent increase in prices.
All right, fine. Now, what about Saudi Arabia? Because it was just this last weekend we saw an effort to really disrupt the Saudi Arabia and even a potential attack on some of their oil facilities. And we know, I'm sure you're well acquainted with Robert Baer's second book, Sleeping with the Devil. Is Robert Baer is a very insightful writer. He was with the CIA for many years. He talks about certain points over there in Saudi Arabia where if they could attack those, they could wipe out, you know, the export of Saudi Arabian oil and really almost cripple the world because they're the largest supplier of oil. So pick up on this idea of the vulnerability of what's going on over there and then the increased instability that we seem to be seeing in the House of Saud.
Yes, the attacks last week on Western oil workers in Khobar, Saudi Arabia, were extremely significant in the sense that they have really blatant and very bold attacks where you know, it's clear that the militants are targeting Western oil workers as they feel as though these Western, you know, Saudi Aramco is stealing their oil. And basically, it's becoming very clear that their attacks are becoming more and more bold, and and what's even more disturbing is the fact that three of the four who were behind killing 22 people last weekend were able to get away, and it's starting to come out that there's a possibility the U.S. advised the Saudi government to let these people go, in the sense that if they were to be captured or killed, it might even lead to more violence.
Well, now, that is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. I mean, if that's our policy, then we should just open up our prisons. And yeah, well, but I would not say that you're wrong. In other words, sometimes it's almost impossible to understand American foreign policy from a logical point of view.
Yes, it is. And I found that to be, I cannot have verified this, but if you look at the situation that occurred last weekend, they had these four gunmen took hostages and were surrounded for over 24 hours, and they managed to escape and three of them managed to escape unharmed. I believe the fourth one was shot. So it's likely that they were let go.
Well, either that, of course, the people in the military force there are sympathetic to their cause, because the administration over there, the feudal kingdom that we've been supporting there, that oppresses women and chops off people's hands and feet and beheads people. We never talk about that in America. We only talk about it when it's done in, say, Afghanistan. We never talk about the brutal feudal kingdom that beheads people on a regular basis in Chop Chop Square there in Riyadh. And, of course, I think there are a lot of people over there who really don't appreciate the fact that the elite live in luxury and the rest of the people are increasingly impoverished.
Yes, that is very true. It is. Saudi Arabia has been referred to by Dr. Mark Faber as France in the final days of Louis the 16th. It is a very unbalanced economy, in the sense that there's a very few people who have unbelievable wealth, and the income of the average Saudi citizen has fallen from about $28,000 a year in 1980 to about $4,000 a year. And this is a very low income level for millions upon millions of people.
All right, fine. So the thing is that this can affect us because we're so dependent upon the Saudi oil, because they've effectively blocked so many logical efforts here in the United States to deal with the problems.
Yes. Whether the United States has had a very, I'd say, disturbing policy of allowing the country to become more and more dependent on foreign energy sources, and this is a policy that is going to not only cause problems if we do have a disruption in energy supplies, but also it's going to really destroy the U.S. dollar. And this is a policy that cannot continue, and we cannot continue to run a a huge trade deficit to purchase energy from overseas.
And if they block the implementation of nuclear energy here, every other country in the world can get it, and they can put it out very cheaply here, of course, because of the attacks from the environmentalists, why they have quadrupled or many times increased the cost of a nuclear power plant 10 times from what it should have been. And the good people sit back, and the environmentalists are organized and determined. They block putting in new electric plants many times, although we got a few in last year. They have certainly blocked drilling for natural gas and oil. And now, how much natural gas and oil is there in the United States, untapped, or are they even able to determine that? Certainly they blocked drilling offshore all along the Pacific coast. What about on the East Coast? Did they block that as well?
There's no offshore drilling on the East Coast as of right now of the United States. There is some drilling offshore in the East Coast of offshore of Canada. The results have been there have been some successes and quite a number of failures. So at this point, it's unclear how much there is off the East Coast of the United States, until there's been a number of wells drilled to delineate exactly what is there. So it's one of those things where you really can't tell until you put the drill to it. So,
well, of course, we know that certainly there is some oil up there in the Alaska area that is untapped, but they've effectively blocked building any additional pipelines for either natural gas or oil, and it'll take probably, 10 years to get those in. In the meantime, we could have a catastrophe.
Yes, natural gas is really a very interesting story in Alaska these days. There's a substantial amount of natural gas up there that's stranded, and to build a pipeline up from Alaska, Prudhoe Bay area, either through Canada or through the state of Alaska down the west coast, is going to be an extremely expensive undertaking, and it's one that the construction of that pipeline, or both of those pipelines, cannot start soon enough, because we will be having very, very high gas prices for an extended period of time, and the economics of both of those pipelines will be easily justified, given what I see gas prices will be in the future.
But of course, the thing is, the longer you wait, the longer this crisis will be, and we start getting a point where gas and oil and production of power is so expensive, this can cripple our economy along with our massive debt and all the other problems we have, couldn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It will have a very disturbing effect on the economy, the high energy prices. It is already forced a number of jobs to leave the United States. We've seen aluminum smelters close down in the northwest United States because of the high cost of natural gas. We've seen
Of course, the natural gas is used to produce the electricity.
Yes, and as well as, I believe, it is used in the smelting process.
All right.
I believe that we've seen a number of chemical makers leave the Gulf Coast of Louisiana and Texas and have moved overseas. Some of them have even moved to some high cost countries like Germany, due to the fact that natural gas is cheaper to acquire over in Germany than it is on the Gulf of in Louisiana.
I know. What about nuclear energy? I know they have nuclear energy, a lot of it. And in France, do they have nuclear energy in Germany as well to keep the price of electricity down?
Yes. Most of the European countries are more heavily dependent on nuclear energy than we are. We only produce about 20% of our electricity from nuclear power plants. And we have a new power plant has not come online since 1993 here. So I think that it's the days of nuclear energy it's going to be making a comeback, and I think we'll be seeing a lot more of it in the near future.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to cover all that and a lot more things when we get back here. Our guest today is Mr. Bill Powers, and he writes a very excellent newsletter on energy. And, of course, he's come to us very highly recommended from our good friend John Loeffler and the Poplava newsletter and the Poplava program. And we'll be having Jim Poplava with us on Monday at this same hour. So you'll want to be listening then. We'll be right back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to mention that we carry Miracle 2 soap products here, and we can't make any claims for them other than the fact they're awfully good soap, but we will tell you that so many people who use these to tell us it's helped them in all sorts of ways, and that some people say it helps their skin rashes, and some people say it helps their children's acne, and some people say the neutralizing solution helps their upper gastrointestinal tract or their lower gastrointestinal tract. And all we can do is suggest you try them and see if they do any good for you. But I will tell you, they're awfully good soap. I wouldn't be without my moisturizing soap, and I certainly wouldn't be without the gel. And my wife uses those things for just about everything imaginable, from burns to all sorts of things. And I don't know why the gel really works so well, or the lotion, but they seem to. Under any circumstances, if you'd like to get an introductory offer, the telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. The product is the Miracle 2 soap products. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Bill Powers, who writes a newsletter. And Bill, would you like to get your newsletter website, your newsletter telephone number out and tell people how they can get the newsletter if they'd like to?
Yes, it's www.canadianenergyviewpoint.com. You can go out to our subscription link, and you can sign up that way. Or if you'd like to give me a call, I can be reached at 773-271-7574.
Give that one more time.
It's 773-271-7574.
All right, fine. Well, let's talk a little bit about Saudi Arabia. Is there anything else we need to cover as far as Saudi Arabia is concerned? Do you see that things quieting down, or do you think that we're looking at perhaps an implosion, eventually a complete disruption of the monarchy over there? And then what happens, the worst thing that would happen, you know, if this were to fall into the hands of the Islamic terrorists who hate America?
Yes, I believe it's only a matter of time before Saudi Arabia implodes, whether it's this year or next year, but I definitely see it happening before the end of this decade. And when it does, oil will probably trade almost immediately over $100 a barrel. This is very, very significant since they produce over 10% of the world's oil, and any disruption out of Saudi Arabia will not be able to be made up by anyone else in the world. So it is it's going to be one of the most, if not the most important economic event and political event of this decade and maybe many to come.
Well, I think that it's certainly important for people to realize. Now, you foresee that this will fall into the hands of the Islamic terrorists. You think it'll be replaced by a more moderate regime. Do you have any suggestions one way or the other? Because this certainly is going to impact upon the price of gasoline at the pump.
Yes, it's going to. But I believe it will fall into the hands of people who are not as friendly to the United States as the current royal family. So, and one of the things that I think is completely misunderstood by most in the West is that there's nowhere is it written that Middle Eastern countries or really anybody needs to sell oil at $25, $35, or even $40 a barrel. They can, as the world demand continues to increase and supplies continue to dwindle, some of these Middle Eastern countries very well might decide to only sell a smaller percentage of their total production every year and might do it at a much higher price. And what this means for consumers is that higher prices are around the corner, so it's a good time to start making some choices in your lifestyle and maybe drive a more fuel-efficient car, maybe live closer to work, those types of things. Things that everybody can do or at least get started on and that would make your consumption a little less.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the nuclear power situation here in the United States. Certainly everything has been done for the last 30 years to block nuclear power, and there's been an organized effort, in my estimation, by the media and by the people of great wealth and power and by the oil lobby to block the use of nuclear energy. They've lied to the American people for years, saying, oh, we just don't know what to do with the spent fuel, and we can't store it anyplace, we're just running out of 50-gallon barrels, and they're beginning to leak. Well, what do they do throughout the rest of the world? They reprocess it. And they block that here in the United States consistently. Germany and France can reprocess their fuel, and Japan can reprocess their fuel, but we can't figure out how to do that here in the United States. This is simply the lie told often enough, oh, we're going to have to store this underground there someplace in Nevada, but the people in Nevada don't want it, and oh my goodness, the terrorists might get hold of it. Why don't we process it? Because they want to create the prices so that they can block the implementation of nuclear energy. Have you looked into this at all, Bill, and how effective they've been in lying to the American people about the fact that they just don't know what to do with that spent fuel?
I have not done any research into that subject. However, as far as the reprocessing of spent uranium rods, I have recently in my newsletter done some research into the uranium market, and it is a very distorted market right now. And I think nuclear energy is clearly leading the way for electricity, new plants in the developing world, and I think it's going to make a comeback here. But as far as how much of it, how soon, it's difficult to tell at this point.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment or two at Radio Liberty. And we'll, at that time, open up our lines at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
four-tape set on the JFK assassination. It includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and this is the time when I need to mention that we do carry the Big Berkey water filters here, and if you would like to know more about them, first of all, the Big Berkey is made of stainless steel, and it put 2 gallons in the top that comes out the bottom. After going through ceramic filters that are packed with activated charcoal, does a great job of taking out the herbicides and pesticides and all of those things that are in your water that make it taste bad and the contaminants, and it's been used by missionaries throughout the world for 150 years. The Big Berkey costs $279. If you buy it through us, you get a 4-tape set or a free video. And, of course, you can see pictures of them at our website at RadioLiberty.com. Or, of course, we encourage you to seriously consider buying one by calling us 1-800-544-8927. The Big Berkey is available in every state except for California and Iowa. Then, of course, we here in California or elsewhere in Iowa or any place in the country, you can get the Berkey Light. It's made of Lexan, so you can see the water level. The filters are different. They're black Berkey filters, and they even do a better job than the Big Berkey filters, but they have to be replaced every couple of years. And the Berkey Light comes with filters that will actually remove even MTBE, but they will not remove fluoride or lead or arsenic. So if you want those, you have to get special filters to put on them. Now, the Berkey Light's only $199. Plus $10 shipping. Why don't you go to our website? You can see the pictures of them there. And then, of course, we invite you to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and we hope very much that you will. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we're having a real problem with our shortwave. They, without notifying us, they've changed basically the frequencies. And if you're on shortwave, well, you can't listen to us on shortwave. All I can say is go to the website for www.whr.org or www.lucia.com. We are on from 3 to 5 now at 13.770 on the evening at 7.535. Somehow we've been taken off of the frequency we've been on for so many years, and we're going to have to find out what's going on. But right now we've got Sonia calling from Texas for our special guest. Hi, Sonia. Do you have a question or comment?
I have a comment. Basically, I was just listening to your radio station, and your guest had made the comment that consumers buy more fuel-efficient cars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my comment was a lot of this lies in the hands of the automakers. Is that not correct? I mean, in England, they have cars that will do 50 miles a gallon.
All right, fine. Would you like to comment on what Sonia is saying, Bill?
Yes, Sonia. Really, there are a number of cars out there that offer very high mileage, such as the Toyota Prius, very high mileage, as well as the several cars from Honda. Unfortunately, a lot of U.S.-made cars made by the Chrysler and Ford are half of their sales are SUVs, and those are very low mileage vehicles. And there are choices out there. So I think the comment was, I think it's really really smart for people to go out and try to find very efficient, fuel efficient vehicles, because the price of gasoline is probably not coming down anytime soon.
My question too is, should we not hold the automakers responsible past some type of a legislation that requires them to meet specific standards? Because my understanding is, with SUVs, they actually can bring the gas mileage down on those, but it's not governed like it is with regular vehicles, or even pickup trucks.
All right, you have a comment on that,
Yes, I mean, I believe that people are going to start voting with their pocketbooks, and I think the government, I mean, I would love to see higher fuel efficiency standards. And I think that should be on the top of their agenda, but at this time, it hasn't captured that top spot. But I think smart consumers, which, you know that listen to Dr. Stan's program, I mean, I think they should be well aware that it's time to take a very hard look at some very fuel efficient cars, because that's where the future is going to lie, in my opinion.
And I think, Sonia, there's several things. First of all, Toyota is coming up with hybrids now that are not that much more expensive, that get about 50 miles to the gallon. Here in California, why the governor is going to insist that there be special service stations every so many miles that will sell hydrogen. They're going to be there in 10 years. He obviously knows something that we don't about the hydrogen cars, because this is all slam dunk. The elite already have everything doped out, how this is going to work to their advantage and not to ours. But this will only become apparent as time goes by. Believe me, we cannot rely upon the federal government to solve any of our problems. They're the ones that have blocked the development of natural gas. They're the ones who have blocked the development of the Alaska pipeline. They're the ones who have blocked effective use of nuclear energy. They're the ones who have blocked drilling for oil. Are you going to look to them to solve our problems, really?
It seems like we're in a catch-22, because the automakers lobby the government, and the government, you know, they're bought by the lobbyists.
Well, we have the finest politicians in Washington, D.C. money can buy.
Yeah, that's correct.
Thank you so much for calling. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Okay, go ahead. Bill, I think that there are so many things going on today that really need to be brought out. And you were saying before we went to the break that you think that there's going to be big changes in the uranium market. In fact, you were even suggesting that some of the uranium stocks are beginning to move here now.
Yes, I believe there's a number of great ways to play the reemergence of nuclear power. And I think the best one to play is some of the Canadian uranium production companies. There's Canada, and Saskatchewan has a very rich uranium producing region called the Athabasca Basin in northern Saskatchewan. And there's a number of companies that are active up there that I think offer great values for patient investors. And because I think that Canada, which supplies about 30% of the world's uranium market, that uranium is going to be a great place to invest, because it's well under the radar screen of most people, and there's a lot of value there.
All right, fine. So you're all in favor then of very seriously, thinking very seriously about people getting into uranium, and I think that the time has come for return to nuclear energy, which we should have been doing all of this time, which the rest of the world has done all of this time, and it is simply because the people who control the media and the great foundations and corporations have wanted to actually block the use of nuclear power. They've scared us to death, and oh my goodness, those wicked terrorists will get hold of these fuel rods and grind them up into little bits and then use them for dirty bombs. Well, I think it's about time people realize we're being manipulated all the time by the controlled media. So what are some of the other issues as far as the energy assist situation is concerned? What about natural gas? You were commenting when we talked before that there really is sort of a shortage of natural gas that's been produced by the government by demanding that we use so much natural gas to generate electricity instead of the traditional methods of developing it. That now, of course, there's a shortage of gas, and then the price is going up. And somebody's coming out, doing very, very well, but certainly not the consumer. What's going to happen to natural gas?
I think natural gas prices are going to move up from about the $6.50 range per 1,000 cubic feet to probably around $10 per 1,000 cubic feet.
But now they were $2 not too long ago, weren't they?
That is correct. That is correct. Or even lower than that, probably about 3 or 4 years ago now. And what really we're seeing is, for about 18 years, we had very flat production and demand for natural gas really wasn't growing. But, and then in 1999, there was a study that was done by the National Petroleum Council, which is an arm of the Department of Energy, that said that natural gas is going to be cheap and plentiful and abundant for years to come, and that production will continue to grow, and that we should find new demand, new uses for it. So what happened is some of these independent power producing companies, such as Calpine and Enron at the time, as well as El Paso, they went out and built natural gas-fired power plants, a lot of them in California, as well as other parts of the country, and they increased the demand for these power plants as they came online, increased demand for natural gas to record levels. And what happened is supply was not able to keep up with it, and we had some very high prices for natural gas.
Well, of course, that is exactly what happens. The government comes up with a program, and they tell you this is what's going to happen, and you could be almost absolutely positive that they're lying to you. So they've created this, and of course the people who went into natural gas are coming out like bandits. Do you have a website? Somebody asked about that.
Yes, it's www.canadianenergyviewpoint.com.
All right. So canadianenergyviewpoint.com. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, fine. Now, what about, is there anything else you'd like to cover as far as the natural gas situation, or perhaps bringing the natural gas down from either northern Alaska or northern Canada? Aren't there tremendous supplies in that area?
Yes, but before we get to that, I would like to cover one comment about, I'm not as familiar with the governor of California talked about with hydrogen fueling stations in California.
Yes.
I would like to make a comment about that in the sense that one of the dirty secrets about the hydrogen cars and the hydrogen revolution for transportation purposes is the fact that the only way to make commercial quantities of hydrogen is to remove the carbon atom from natural gas. So really, this hydrogen revolution should be called the natural gas revolution. So it is something that does not get a lot of attention. And I really think that that until they can make hydrogen in commercial quantities without using natural gas, you're probably better off just using natural gas-fired cars, in my opinion. But to get back to your comment about northern Alaska and the Beaufort Sea up there, as far as natural gas goes, the pipeline issues that we're faced with are very, very difficult ones because the cost of building a pipeline that will come down from northern Alaska to either the U.S. West Coast or to northern Canada are going to be very expensive. They're very politically motivated in the sense that these are going to be some very large construction projects, and that at least for the United States, we're seeing requests for subsidies to help get this started. So it's right now it is something that is going to need forward because we are going to need that gas, but it's probably going to take another couple years before construction actually begins, and then probably 6 to 7 years after that before any of the gas ever reaches the consumers.
So basically what they've done is they've delayed and they've delayed and they've blocked doing what was logical because, what you're supposed to do is plan ahead. Now, of course, we're going to be planning into an emergency situation. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, that is correct. And I think the situation is becoming more and more more and more difficult to change. And part of it is because we're seeing gas supplies shrink here in domestic North America, and it's becoming very, very difficult to keep even the gas supplies flat. So as we need to bring down additional gas, the cost of it is continuing to grow, and it's not going to recede anytime soon. So these are very difficult questions, and I think it's They need some serious answers.
And I think that what they really are going to do is impoverish the middle class of America. And, of course, as the jobs leave, as our industries leave, as the value of the dollar drops, heaven help us. Well, right now let's go to Roger calling from Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, folks. Thanks. I guess some folks ought to be happy to hear that since the gas prices went through the roof, the sale of Hummers have tanked to something like half of their previous sales figures.
All right, yeah, they're not going to be able to move those SUVs. In fact, they're giving you tremendous deals on the SUVs right now because they just can't move them. And I think, Roger, things are just going to get worse is my estimation. And I sort of get this feeling from talking to Bill, who knows a lot more than I do. Did you have any other comment?
Yeah, there's no contradiction in holding that. It's virtually and probably includes numerous actual criminal acts that we don't have more nuclear power. And simultaneously holding that it's still a crime that we're showering our troops with the refuse products, the depleted uranium, rather than putting it in nice safe holes in the ground where it belongs, and that we don't have reprocessing plants to handle and mitigate a lot of the to minimize the problems that we would have with the nuclear power, which we should have.
Roger, were you able to find us on shortwave today?
Yes, and I want to remind the folks for your last 2 hours of the day, go to 7.535.
All right, fine. Thank you so much, Roger. Okay, thanks so much, and let's go to Doug, who's calling from Florida. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Dr. Stan, and hi to your guest. I have one question about the Canadian, some sort of an oil reserves I heard that was up there that was a huge deposit, I understood, that was... Either they couldn't get to it, and new processes have permitted that to happen, or else it was, I'm not sure what kind of process, but it was up in Canada. Do you know anything about this?
Yes, I think you're referring to the Athabasca region of the tar sands up in northern Alberta.
Okay, that could be.
This is a huge deposit. I believe it's about 150 billion barrels. It's been estimated at up to 180 billion barrels.
Now, could you put that into perspective? What sort of reserves do they have over in Saudi Arabia?
They have, I believe it's in the neighborhood of 200.
About 200 billion barrels. Okay, so this is a lot of oil up there.
This is a huge amount of oil. However, what is very, very different is between what is in northern Alberta and what is in Saudi Arabia is the Saudi Arabia oil will come out of the ground without at very low cost, whereas the bitumen or the tar sands in northern Alberta have to be processed into synthetic crude, and this is a very energy intensive and costly process. So the cost of this can be anywhere from $12 to $20 to make one barrel of synthetic crude. So at today's prices, it's very economical. However, one of the things that is a big determinant in the cost to process bitumen is the price of natural gas and the price of electricity. So as these rise, the break-even on processing bitumen is going to increase. So it is a big reserve, but it's going to require enormous investment to get it out. And I think it's a... It's a very, very substantial deposit up there.
All right. Anything else, Doug?
Yeah, just a further follow-up on that. It seems like there was many years ago, I also remember there were tar sands in the United States that was also a huge deposit. Do you remember that sort of thing?
I know there's heavy oil and in California in the Bakersfield region, but there's been efforts to make shale oil in, I believe, in Colorado.
That's what it was, shale.
Yeah, there was a big project to do that, and unfortunately, that is the economics of that just never worked, and I don't see that making a big comeback anytime real soon, but there are efforts underway to revitalize programs that are similar to it.
Well, okay. Doug, the most important thing is that the people realize that we've been had. The environmentalists are dedicated. I mean, they're willing to spend all of their time blocking efforts to do what would make life easier for the rest of us. It's about time the good people either stand up and say, we're not going to put up with this anymore, or you're going to be paying, $20 a gallon for gasoline and sitting at home.
Thank you very much, Dr.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, Bill, we've got about a minute and a half before we have to let you go. What are the most important things as far as your message to our listeners?
Really what I would want everybody to take away from today's program is that high oil prices are not just a temporary situation. They are here to stay, and they are probably going to go higher. So try to think of ways in your lifestyle that you can make simple and relatively easy changes to conserve the amount of oil and energy that you use. This might mean living closer to work, driving a more fuel-efficient car, riding your bike more, maybe living in a more energy-efficient home. These are all important things that I think we could all take steps towards to really cut down on our energy consumption and especially our oil consumption.
All right, fine. Well, let's get your telephone number and your website out just one more time.
Yes, I'm at 773-271-7574, and my website is www.CanadianEnergyViewpoint.com.
And that's 773-271-7574. Always got to give that number twice, Bill.
Okay.
God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us here.
All right, it's great being here, Dr. Sam.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Really happened at Waco. Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we also carry several other films on Waco. We have The New Revelation. Did you know that they sent in a special forces team to kill the people? You'll actually see people several people who talked to the people in the special forces who sort of bragged about how they were able to kill the Davidians. Waco and A New Revelation is something that everybody should see, and then we carry the FLIR tape. We have a couple of four tape sets on Waco. You need to get the truth. We have a book on the Davidians, because, of course, next time it could be you. How could they suppress this information in America? Why, the same day were able to suppress the fact that when James Jones opened his defense of Timothy McVeigh in the Carlton, Colorado, the first thing he did was talk about how Timothy McVeigh had written to his sister Jennifer and said, "I'm working for a special forces team that's involved in illegal activity. I am involved in a special forces organization involved in illegal activity." Now, you would think that that would have gotten on the media. Maybe they could have decried it. They could have said it's ridiculous. But, of course, it got blacked out. You'll find that reference in Stephen Jones' book, an excellent book. It's entitled The O.K. City Bombing. The others unknown, the Oklahoma City bombing. So you're really not getting the truth about so many things. But we do have these things available through Radio Liberty. We hope that many of you will want to get them. We certainly have a Oklahoma City special, which is 2 4 tape sets and videos and books. And you need to have the information on what happened. And then you need to help us get the truth out across America. It's a frightening thing to think that they would have killed the helpless women and children there. You need to see Waco, A New Revelation. You're not going to read about this in the New York Times. You're not going to hear about it from Rush Limbaugh. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon you and to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day by radio, by shortwave, by internet, and by satellite. and we've built up a good listening audience. We continue expanding. We have about 60 outlets every week. But believe me, it's an expensive proposition, so if you'd like to be part of our team, our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of one of our newsletters, I would be glad to send it to you. And, of course, if you want me to document any of the things we talk about, why we have rather extensive libraries and files, and we try to keep you up to date on what's really going on behind the scenes, the information you're not going to get through regular channels. Now, we have a number of excellent books on mind control. We're carrying a book called The Operation Blueberg. It's written by Dr. Colin Ross, who's a psychiatrist down in Texas who takes care of the victims of CIA mind control experiments, where they actively and intentionally produced a split personality, a dissociative personality, just to see what would happen. We at Curious Carry, the book by Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, Transformation of America, The Transformation of America. We haven't been able to get it for a long time, but we have it in stock now. We have the CIA report out of the Senate report, suppressed for a long time, but we have that available. The CIA tried to keep anybody from knowing about the macabre experiments they were carrying out, but fortunately they didn't shred all of the documents, and so somebody got one, and we have it duplicated now. That's the MK Ultra report. We carry the Rockefeller Committee report. It came out of the Senate the Veterans Administration over the name of Jay Rockefeller. And I talked to the people at the U.S. printing office. They printed 35 copies for a nation of 280 million people. Now, they did give copies, of course, to the members of the commission, but for the general public, they printed 35 copies. We bought 25 of them. Now we print it here because we can do it. It's a government document. So we print it up. You need to read the Rockefeller Report and find out about MKUltra, about the experiments they've done on hundreds of thousands of American citizens without their knowledge or consent, just to see what would happen. It is one of the most gripping reports. It talks about the Gulf War syndrome. And do you realize that 40% of the wives of the Gulf War veterans who came home and were sick, 40% of the wives are sick too? They've introduced new diseases into our population, but the last thing they want you to know is that you and your family are in danger today, because there really are evil people working at the highest echelons of our society. And if you don't believe that, just look at those pictures of what happened at Abu Ghraib prison over there in Iraq, and realize that this was not an isolated incident. As one fellow said, gee, our people up the line of command, why, they'd really jump on us if they knew what we were doing. Well, if you were really concerned about them finding it, why did you actually take all those pictures and circulate them and distribute them so widely? And then why did the government, which actually got all the pictures and classified them, suddenly release it to all the media in the world, unless you wanted to inflame the Islamic world against us? Why would anybody do anything like that? Why to justify the coming world war? Ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble, and if you're not involved now, and you're not willing to stand on your feet and say no, there may come a time when you'll be on your knees saying yes. So please consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. Tell other people about our programs, and then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. Pray for Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this battle. Until tomorrow at the same time, I guess it'll be Monday now, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.